JM and the AM on a Wednesday morning broadcast. Today is the day that we explore Pesach products. Traditionally, the basis for our Pesach products is the OU Guide to Passover. This is the one that we've been featuring for many, many years. And of course, Rabbi Schoenfeld and Rabbi Gersten are going to be joining us. Larry and Ronnie Birnbaum from J Drugs are going to be joining us. Avrami, are you there? Avrami, are you still on the call?
I am here.
All right, so Avrami, we're gonna do as I introduce each panel member, we will do a little sound check, and you'll let us know if things sound good. Does that sound like a reasonable request?
I can do that.
I appreciate that. All right, let me start with Rabbi Schoenfeld, because he is, of course, the person who, over the last many, many years, has been the linchpin, if you will, of this entire Pesach products program. Rabbi Schoenfeld, please unmute yourself and say hi to this beloved JM and the AM audience.
Hi to this beloved audience. Well, I can't even count the years. It's been my honor to be here, going back to Jersey City. And a shout out to all my loyal Shir attendees and the women's Shir Monday night. And in the morning, I have a Mishnah Shir with Rabbi Engelsberg and Brian Cook and Borstein. Mayor Borstein will join us. Anyway, a shout out to everybody, and especially to your entire audience. It's
they
great.
Better all be tuned in this morning.
That's how I got him to tune
it's
in.
It's so
promise
funny Rabbi Schoenfeld mentions Jersey City and tries to paint the picture that he's a veteran of these broadcasts. When we have a special guest on our panel this morning who could talk about not only Springdale Avenue in East Orange, he can even talk about Froberg Hall in East Orange, New Jersey, the old, old, old headquarters of what we now know as JM and the AM. And of course, I'm referring to the legendary Rabbi Mordechai Mutti Grunberg, who was with us. A total shock to me that he was able to set aside the time. And look how thrilled Rabbi Schoenfeld is that Rabbi Grunberg is joining us this morning. Rabbi Grunberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Nachum. It's a pleasure to be back.
I told you, we're going to get to Pesach products eventually, but I have too much shtick I got to get through first. What can I tell you? I've built up 40 years worth of shtick. By the way, Rabbi Grunberg, you and I have adhered to a specific practice over the last 40 years. We would never dare bring chametz to the Pesach products program. Would you like to call out Rabbi Schoenfeld right now? Because it appears that Rabbi Schoenfeld is dining on some chametz with his coffee as the program is going on. Rabbi Grunberg, please reprimand him appropriately as the founder of the Pesach products program.
Well, if he's drinking decaffeinated coffee, it could definitely be a problem, right, Rabbi Gersten?
Rabbi Gersten, could you please weigh in on this issue? Are you there, Rabbi Gersten?
Oh, I'm sure if Rabbi Schoenfeld knows what he's doing. He's
Thank you for that.
That is what we call a vote of confidence, Rabbi Gersten. I appreciate you tossing that in there. We've now met our entire rabbinic panel that's joining us today. We thank them for their time. We know this is a very busy. By the way, Rabbi Schoenfeld, have you noticed? Rabbi Gersten has become a member of the social media class. He's been on videos on kashrus issues, answering questions about certain things. I never thought that his start at JM and the AM would lead to a full social media exposure. Could you comment on this for us, please, Rabbi Schoenfeld?
This program does wonders for people. It catapulted my career. I look what it's doing to somebody like Rabbi Gersten, a young Torah, and you never know where it's going to lead you.
You never know, Rabbi Gersten. Rabbi Gersten, I hope.
China.
What did you say? Say it again.
I said to put Rabbi Grunberg in China.
Shh, Rabbi Schoenfeld. We don't want to give anybody the suspicion that, as the rumor has it, Rabbi Grunberg is spying for the Chinese government and infiltrating our show for purposes that you and I, frankly, are not going to be. Oh my gosh, he's actually wearing a pin that reflects allegiance to the
Republic. I didn't even get a chance to take it off yet.
And he has a Chinese flag, Rabbi Schoenfeld. We never had such a political infiltration of the Pesach products program. What do I do? I don't know how to handle this.
Well, 50% of all food ingredients come from China globally, so we have to live with it.
At least the poisonous ones.
What did you say?
At least the poisonous ones, all those funny ingredients.
Wow. You don't know. Talk about a shot. Avrami, is Rabbi Schoenfeld's, because I remember last year we had a problem, is Rabbi Schoenfeld's audio sufficient, Abraham? Would you say it's sufficient for the Pesach products program?
Yes, I thought that was fine. Rabbi Grunberg, I thought was fine. Rabbi Gersten was a little bit lower than the others. Ooh. A little bit lower.
Rabbi Gersten, I would assume now that you're a social media star, that you have improved equipment, and you have been instructed by the coaches that people like you use to project a little bit more. Rabbi Gersten, am I right that that has been part of your training?
Yeah, I'll try to project a little more. Let me know if this is adequate.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Was Rabbi Schoenfeld accurate about your rise to fame in the social media arena? Did he paint the correct picture, Rabbi Gersten?
The truth is, I've not seen it myself, but that's what they told me, that I've made it in the big league.
But in all seriousness, haven't you done like a bunch of Q&A, like separate questions?
Yes. I mean, the videoed at the OU headquarters, and then what happens then after that, I don't really know.
Got it. Rabbis, we are joined by an old friend. We are joined by somebody who, thank God, is on this panel, because every time we have a word that I can't pronounce, it's usually a medication. It's usually something that I have no idea how many letters, vowels, or consonants it needed in order to create that word. But then I try to say the word, and Larry Birnbaum of J Drugs always deciphers it. So rabbis, instead of being under tremendous pressure and anxiety this morning, you guys could relax, because Larry and Ronnie are going to be handling the pharmaceutical end of our Pesach products program. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Is everything good?
We hear you great, and I hope I didn't put you under too much pressure with that introduction.
No, my pronunciations are still pretty well.
No, so. Yours are fine. Whenever I come across a word I can't pronounce, I know it's a prescription. I got to run it by you. What can I tell you? I don't know why in your industry they couldn't just, create normal words to describe medicines. I guess maybe it's fancier and it's more expensive if it has like 15 letters in it.
Well, in the beginning, when I started over 47 years ago, the pronunciation was pretty easy and everything was brand drugs. Now everything went from being, simple names to the generic names. And believe me, they're all tongue twisters.
Trust me, I blame Rabbi Grunberg and the people that he spies, works for, because I think a lot of those medications come from you know where, if I'm not mistaken.
Definitely the components.
Nowadays,
China and India. Most APIs.
Yeah, 90% of our medication, the generics come from overseas, and unfortunately, that's the way it is.
For those of you who are wondering if we're going to get to actual Pesach product questions, the likelihood is yes. We are likely to get to some, but I do have a lot of shtick I still have to get through. I hope Rabbi Gersten is patient. Rabbi Schoenfeld, traditionally, Rabbi Gersten does set aside these 90 minutes and is willing to give this time, even when I have to go on one of my pre-Pesach rants, right?
Yeah, but his time is valuable, but it's worthwhile. It's worth the while.
Now that we have Rabbi Grunberg, if Rabbi Gersten needs to step aside for a few minutes, we have someone who can pitch it for him for a moment.
No, I give it all to Rabbi Gersten. He sends me tshuvas every single week.
Seriously?
5 minutes. Yes, every single week I get the tshuva that I ask him for within literally an hour or two after I ask him for the tshuva.
What was the most recent question you asked? Do you remember? What was the most recent question you've asked him?
The most recent was about Nat Barnat to send me the PDF file.
Means no sintam, right?
No sintam.
It's a halachic concept. And the question was what? You wanted to know if a pot or a pan or a piece of silverware? Like, what do you want to know about?
No, it was a tshuva that was written up in the last OU publication, and I needed it on PDF.
No, but I'm saying, did the tshuva involve a utensil? Did it involve a process? What did it involve?
Utensil, yes.
Oh, utensil, okay. Rabbi Gersten, was that one of the more difficult ones, or Rabbi Grunberg had no chance of stumping you on that one?
No, it had to do actually with Pesach products.
Oh, really?
It had to do with items that are not certified for Pesach that have been reviewed, though, by the OU as to their, whether they're acceptable or not. And one of the issues that has to do with is this issue of no Saint Tom bar, no Saint Tom, because the same kettles that could have cooked chametz beforehand, even though the items themselves don't contain any chametz, the equipment that made it might have processed chametz beforehand.
Now, I could not have addressed this last year because, as all of you remember, I was in Jerusalem last year for my son's wedding during Pesach. So that was, you know, so I was a shtickle out of the whole, you know, shopping for Pesach thing. But now, this year, I could tell you that I could address the topic of stuff that doesn't need a special OUP designation. By the way, those of you who are curious, if you're on this panel and you're watching, this is my list for tomorrow morning. The shopping list, Rabbi Schoenfeld, I knock off 40 items and the list still is this long. Could you imagine? It's crazy.
Well, that's from your wife, your shopping list?
Yeah.
It's only going to grow.
I mean, you think she'd have a little bit of
Rahmanis on you.
Exactly,
huh?
Of sympathy. And she would, try to work on weeding that list, so to speak. But for some reason...
We men have to realize that women are going to have very little sympathy for us.
That is true.
Very little. I've discovered that.
And Rabbi Gersten, so Nachum Siegel, what have you discovered this year? I've discovered that you don't need a special OUP for bottled water. Correct, Rabbi Gersten? I discovered that you don't need a special
water.
You don't need a special OUP for Bertolli olive oil. Did you know that? You could just go and get a fresh bottle. Did you know that?
Extra virgin olive oil, right?
Extra virgin olive oil, right, with the OU. I've discovered that certain coffees, you do not need a special OUP. Am I accurate about that, Rabbi Gersten?
Yes, that's correct. It's in the list over here also, the Folgers.
I studied this year because I'm in the shopping arena. I'm not lounging around in my brother's Jerusalem apartment like last time around. I am actually doing some pre-Pesach work. And trust me, it's not easy. Not easy at all. Ask Larry and Ronnie what Avenue J looks like this time of year. Woo! Hope you guys have a parking space somewhere because I don't know how you navigate what's going on in Flatbush, Brooklyn these days. Woo, boy, is it rough.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, the avenue's hopping. Everything looks great. Fortunately for me, I'm in Florida right now, so
it's the hardest way to handle the Avenue J situation. Don't worry, Rabbi Schoenfeld did something similar. He found out what was going on in New York, and he headed straight south. I don't know where he is, some undisclosed location near Washington, D.C., apparently. And don't ask Rabbi Grunberg. We have no idea where he is at this point. He's always flying to the Far East. Rabbi Gersten and I, we're basically settled in some normal neighborhoods of the New York, New Jersey area. I think we could say that safely. Anyway, one other thing I must bring up before we get to our Pesach product questions. As you know, Rabbi Grunberg, the Bible for the Pesach products program is the OU Guide to Passover, which I have a feeling, by the way, that Rabbi Gersten has a lot to do with. He probably writes some of these articles and, you know, gives some of this advice that we read about in all of these things. Yeah, so I noticed something in this year's OU guide. I noticed it. I was outraged, absolutely outraged. And I contacted Rabbi Ganak, and he told me that he has spoken to the proper staff member and that the issue will be rectified by next year. And I said, that's not acceptable. I want the staff member fired. I want the staff member removed immediately. What was the issue, Rabbi Grunberg? And you're going to be Rabbi Grunberg for sure, and Rabbi Schoenfeld, because you're both going to remember this. You're going to be as outraged as I was. If you look at the OU guide, page 118, the Sfiras HaOmer chart, which decades ago Nachum Siegel recommended the refrigerator-friendly back-to-back Sfiras HaOmer chart, meaning that the Sfiras HaOmer chart, the two pages of it would be on the same sheet of paper, so to speak, right? Refrigerator friendly. If you look at page 118, and I know you're going to find this hard to believe it, or by Gersten, you're probably fuming just at what I'm about to say. I get it. Instead of putting it back to back, they've put it on page 116 and page 118. So if somebody does want to hang the Sfiras HaOmer chart in the refrigerator, they'd have to have room for two sheets of paper instead of one, completely against the Nachum Siegel suggestion of 35 years ago that the OU has followed until now. Rabbi Schoenfeld, I don't think it's a stretch to say that you completely agree with me that a reprimand was not sufficient and that the staff member responsible for this at the OU should in fact be removed and maybe tossed back into the headhunter pool and go to some other kosher organization that could use somebody who irresponsibly takes a Sfiras HaOmer chart and separates it with a page in between. Rabbi Schoenfeld, do you in fact agree with me on this?
Oh, 100%. Send him here to Baltimore. But I you know, they should be treated like those Google people who rebelled against the Google the ownership.
Rabbi Grunberg, could you take this seriously and join me in calling for the immediate removal of whoever was responsible for this horrible act?
In China, it's subject to execution.
And Rabbi Gersten, you get the final word. Can you believe this? Can you believe that you work in the same building as somebody who would think of not putting the Sfiras HaOmer chart on one page?
Well, you know, I think they must have, you know, they forgot the origins of where it came from. And I'm sure they would have really.
By the way, that's why I'm so insulted, because it was my idea. And now they're veering away from it.
Nachum, could I have a suggestion? Why don't you just cut out page 118 till day 20, and then day 21, pull that off the fridge and put the next page on? Or is that not the way to do it?
You couldn't tell me this 35 years ago? You couldn't tell me this when I was in the middle of my campaign for this thing? Now you tell me?
That's okay.
Rabbi Grunberg, it's only been trouble since Rabbi Schoenfeld replaced you on this program. It's only been trouble for me.
That's why I came back on to watch him this year.
All right. We really got to get to some Pesach questions, Rabbi Schoenfeld. I mean, come on.
It's all, like I say, me coming in for Rabbi Grunberg like Ron Swoboda replacing Mickey Mantle, you know.
Oh, us Yankee fans know exactly what you mean by that. All right.
I heard of Mickey Mantle.
Ron Swoboda.
Ron Swoboda's after his time.
Yeah, Rabbi Grunberg was ensconced in the Chavetz Chaim Talmud. You know, in Yeshiva's Chavetz Chaim by the time Swoboda became a real Yankee.
Yeah. Never got to Swoboda.
Of course not. Anyway, we really got to get to some Pesach questions. Listener Ruchel, her question is going to start us off, Rabbi Schoenfeld, because this has become a debate over the last 24 hours among some of the people in my life. It started with her question, is there any other product to feed a fish on Pesach aside from freeze-dried shrimp? Is there any alternative?
Yeah, freeze-dried worms. That's what I use. They're already on that diet. Any little freeze-dried critters is the way to go, because the standard fish product is chametz gomer. The standard things that sell in little tins and cans is chametz gomer.
So she told me that the fish don't like it and that they barely, you know, survive on it for the 8 days, she may have been talking about the worms also. Maybe they just don't like the freeze-dried stuff.
Freeze-dried shrimp is usually for bigger size fish. I mean, I'm talking about small tropical fish, of course, right. Goldfish. But I don't know what she has. But usually freeze-dried is the way to go. I mean, some of the good stores will sell live little critters, like worms. Maybe they'll like that better, be fresher.
Interesting. Now, this led to a question, which, again, may sound like a simple one to those rabbis on our panel, but to the average balabas who's desperate to try to solve this fish problem. And I thought we really could apply it to other things as well. You literally can't own chametz on Pesach, right? You literally cannot own chametz. I mean, as an example, just to make a crazy example, if one has a dog and they fed it a slice of bread, they didn't eat the bread, they could have done bittul before Pesach, whatever. If they took a slice of bread that was obviously theirs, not stealing it, and fed it to a dog on Pesach, they would be over on a d'oraisa, correct? On a restriction from the Torah. That I know it's obvious, but I'm correct about that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so someone said to me, why can't they sell their fish to a non-Jew, have that and the fish food, and have that non-Jew come into their house during Pesach and feed the fish? And I said, you know, I think that might work if you remove the fish and the food from your home. But would it work if you're keeping the fish and food in your home?
It really does not. And I'll let Rabbi Gersten explain it fully, but it really does not work. If you have a cat and you give it to your guy, you said, here, you feed it, you take care, it's yours for the next week.
You own it. You can have a contract. You own it for the week.
You own it, everything. It's still not a way out for very interesting reason, because rights would be kiyumo. You're happy that the cat is eating chametz. Rabbi Gersten, you know, let Rabbi Gersten elaborate.
Go ahead, Rabbi.
Yeah, this is actually an old question. Can I sell, in olden times, people had the cow and they fed it, you know, the grain. Can I sell both the cow and the grain to the non-Jew and they'll take care of the issue? And many of the posts said you may not do that, including the Mishnah Berurah brings this, because it's considered too much of a haram. Like Rabbi Schoenfeld said, you really want everything to stay. You don't. You want your cow back. You want it fed, and therefore to sell the chametz and it's his and he could use it as he wants, that's one thing. But to sell it, saying this is the rule now, you have to feed it to my dog, so then, you know, that's considered too much of a trickery. It's not considered really a valid sale.
Yeah, selling chametz is not enough of a trickery. This takes it to a completely different level.
But what you could do is you could sell just the fish and tell them you feed it. You know, this is the type of fish food that it would like. Go buy it, go feed it, and it belongs to the, you know. But if you sell, it says not to sell both the animal and the food together, because that's considered like you're, you know, setting up the whole.
And in that case, what you just described, would you have to remove the fish from the house or not necessarily?
Yes, you would, because you can't have chametz in your house.
All right. So the only answer is remove both the fish and the food from the house and have the non-Jew purchase their own food to actually care for that fish for 8 days.
Yes.
Wow. At least there's an answer. At least there is an answer.
This year I have chickens in my backyard. I got to worry about their feed.
Excuse me, Rabbi Schoenfeld, what did you say?
I have chickens now in my backyard.
I thought I misheard, but apparently I have not.
My daughter bought 4 chickens. She built a coop. She put it in my backyard. And now I'm the task of finding out what that chicken feed is made of.
Was your daughter educated in a standard yeshiva high school? Just curious.
Yeah, yes. Bais Yaakov girl. But she's older.
Rabbi Grunberg is not shocked because when he travels in China, every other house has 4 chickens in the backyard, apparently.
In the rural areas, yes, not in the first tier cities. Second tier cities.
Sorry, didn't mean to insult the first tier group, Rabbi Grunberg. Very sensitive about the China situation, Rabbi Schoenfeld. She has these 4 chickens. What's she doing over Yontif?
My daughter?
Yeah, what's she feeding them?
She put them in my backyard in a coop. I don't know what she's feeding. I know they get little pellets. I've asked her to find out about these pellets. I said, I'll take them, but you feed them. But, you know, during the year. So I said, please find out what these pellets are, because I'm not going to have them being fed chametz. If they're corn-based, it's not a problem.
Right.
But if there's flour-based, huge problem. I got to figure out. I'll have to feed them corn.
You should call Rabbi Chaim Leike.
What are you saying?
He'll tell you. Call Rabbi Leike. Chaim Leike.
Oh, Leike, bro. He's our birdman in the OU. Okay, good idea.
Correct, yeah.
There's a birdman of the OU. Wow, I'll tell you. You guys have really advanced over the years.
On chickens, the birds, cushions, all the issues.
Wow, unbelievable. Rabbi Schoenfeld, are you still capable and have you already cleaned out the fish tank? Remember, for those longtime listeners of ours, this has always been an issue. Is Rabbi Schoenfeld, you know, has he gone ahead, gotten into his bathing suit, climbed into that big tank and cleaned it out for Pesach?
I started early this week with my help of my grandchild, who told me he wants to help me, so he came and watched.
Did it go well?
Yeah, we got them all. I don't think this either so happy with these freeze-dried worms I'm getting. They're about 4 years old, but they'll do.
The reason why you have to, because people would say, I mean, it's a fish tank, but the answer is that the stuff on the walls of a fish tank is real chametz. I mean, a lot of that is actual food, right, or food residue that you fed them over the years.
Yeah, especially under the pebbles and the rocks and, you know, the other little trinkets that you have in there. It's chametz, real chametz gets caught there.
Yeah, I get that. And, I mean, you know, we do bittel and we do sell our chametz and everything else, but I guess if the fish are actually in your home for Pesach, you really don't want any chametz around, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure the fish agree.
I mean, as Rabbi Schoenfeld would say, it's Pesach after all.
That's it. It's Pesach.
It's Pesach after all. So Rabbi Gersten is telling me I don't need an OUP on the bottled water, but hey, Rabbi Schoenfeld, it's Pesach after all. I mean,
correct. That's very true. My mantra.
Anyway,
Pesach, we officially go crazy.
Yes, we officially, very, very well put. On Pesach, we officially go crazy. Feel free to comment on the app and ask your questions. It's an Nachum Segal Network app for Android and iPhone. Comment away and ask your questions regarding Pesach. And those of you who've emailed us questions, I'm going to try to get to those as soon as possible, because there are people out there who would need to know about what's happening this Pesach regarding medications and regarding products. So someone here asks about margarine. Is there every year there seems to be some debate or some new twist to the margarine saga for Pesach or by Gersten? Anything new that we need to know this year?
Not that I'm aware of. There are margarines that are certified for Pesach, so I might have to go to the kosher store to find them.
Rabbi Grunberg, the issue was that one-year margarine was simply not available, right? Am I right about that? Wasn't there a shortage, or was it a shortage in Israel? Remember, there was some shortage.
Israel was a shortage of butter.
It was a butter shortage?
Oh, Israel had a margarine problem because suddenly the Rabbanut a few years ago decided that cottonseed is kidneys and so is cottonseed oil. And that caused a major panic because that's a staple for margarine in Pesach. Chutzlar, it's cottonseed oil.
Correct. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, they asked us to bring American margarine to Israel, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah. Somehow it had to survive. It'd be packed in ice and everything. That is true. I had to do that for my sisters.
Yeah, but there was a shortage a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, when China bought Tanuva.
Seriously?
Yeah. They were shipping all the butter, you know, through the back door through to the other countries, and China was the middleman.
Wow. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, include a middleman like that, you have no idea if you'll ever have margarine again.
Well, they tripled their production, you know, maybe 100-fold since China did buy Tanuva.
I was trying to take a shot at the Chinese, but Rabbi Grunberg would not allow that. This listener asks about Breakstone cottage cheese. Apparently, the 16-ouncer cannot be found this year. Rabbis, you have any idea? And I noticed this, by the way. Again, I'm shopping this year. I noticed there's a lot of cottage cheese notices. The certain cottage cheeses are not being put on the shelves until this week. Certain cottage cheeses are not in certain sizes, are not being made at all. Does anybody have a cottage cheese update for us?
Is she meaning she can't find it, or she can't find it with an OUP?
Yeah, can't find it with an OUP.
I don't know why that is, because Breakstones is...
Yeah, but it could be that they're not making the 16-ouncer, no? Or we haven't heard that. Because I saw that Friendship, who does have the 16-ouncer, I believe it's a 16, is not making the smaller one this year. Like, normally they have two sizes, they're not making the smaller one this year. That was a notice that I saw. But
I don't know. In the Passover directory, Breakstones, low fat, smooth and creamy cottage cheese, 4% sour cream, reduced fat. It doesn't limit it to any sizes, so I'd be surprised. Unless,
maybe it's an availability issue. Maybe it's just didn't hit the supermarkets.
Yeah, that's most likely.
Yeah, in certain areas, may not have hit the supermarkets. Larry Birnbaum, are you ready for some of my mispronunciation?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Hydrocortisone.
That's a cream. Is it tablet and cream? The creams are okay, and the tablets should be okay too.
Neomycin
tablets are good, and they also make a neomycin cream, which would be fine too.
Mupirocin.
That's a Bactroban, which is easier to pronounce than the Mupirocin, is also okay.
So all these ointments and creams are fine. Cleansers, Cerave, right? Or I don't even know if that's the right pronunciation.
The Cerave are all good. Yes.
Yeah, those are all good. People could use those, of course. And if they're more comfortable opening up a brand new one, then open up a brand new one. Rabbis, am I right about that? All those are fine. And if someone would like to open up a brand new one, then more power to them, correct?
Yeah, it's not an absolute, but after all, it's Pesach, but there's really no less.
I have a question.
The rabbis, if let's say, for instance, it's never used in the kitchen. In other words, they keep their Bactroban ointment in the bathroom. They use it only there. Would it be necessary for them to open up a new tube, or can they continue using the old tube?
They can continue using the old tube.
Yeah, I got this one, Rabbi Schoenfeld. Of course, Larry could use the old one, but after all, it's Pesach.
As crazy as you are, that's beyond.
After.
Well, what we do get asked a lot is, can I use the same lipstick as I do during the year?
Right. Well, that makes sense. And the answer is, start a new one.
You can, but if you know, again, it's one of those things. If you feel more comfortable not than, you know, I mean, how many women put on lipstick and they still got crumbs of bread on their mouth? Men, if they wore lipstick, maybe, but not women.
Great observation. Great social observation, Roy Schoenfeld. Larry, J Drugs, all of your locations still have all the kosher displays, meaning kosher toothpaste, kosher mouth. I'm talking about real kosher, like with a hexer.
Right. Right. We have a full line of the Adwe products. We have a full line of all the Fisher products. And also this year, we have actually taken in a full line of household goods also. So we have the blechs, and we have all the plastics and the covers. And I have everything that you would need to come in and help make your house kosher. We have cleaning products, took in a full line of all this stuff. We took in a partner from Zara's, Isaac Chaya, and we have a full line of Pesach products, very good prices, and actually we're doing very, very well with it. So,
Well, I was outvoted. Otherwise, we'd be away for Pesach. Now that I was outvoted and we're in the area, I may have to stop by there at J Drugs. By the way, here's another one. I'm going to read you the entire email, because I don't understand it, because again, I don't know what's what in terms of these medicines. Is non-Imodium brand loperamide, such as SDA or IBS Labs brand, okay for Pesach?
I would assume that it is, because most of the loperamides are fine, the over-the-counter ones and the prescription ones.
Rabbi Schoenfeld or Rabbi Gersten, could you please address the annual concern about Sam's Club or Costco frozen salmon and its use for Pesach?
Yeah, I'm going to let Rabbi Gersten take that. I have my own opinion, but I'd like to hear it from him.
No problem.
they are fine, but they should be rinsed off before you use it. That's all. Otherwise, they're fine for Pesach.
Now, you're talking about it must have an OU or even without it. You get a lot of that there's salmon. There's no hashgach or nothing, but it's pink salmon, you know.
Right, but we're talking about the OU. Right, we're talking about the OU Costco salmon. And, I mean, the OU usually doesn't comment about non-OU products for Pesach, because that's, you know.
Yeah, but is this the type of thing that doesn't need hashgach altogether? If I were to ask you about aluminum foil, you would tell me it doesn't need hashgach. Is salmon, pink salmon, that type of fish that does not need hashgacha by virtue of the coloring of its flesh?
Right. That's in terms of the salmon itself. Right. In terms of Pesach, we would say we're aware of what goes on with the OU salmon, and there's no chametz in it. The most there could be is an issue of there's sometimes a glaze that's put on it before they freeze it. It's like they'll put on it like it's a saltwater glaze. And there's a concern of some ingredients in that glaze. Potentially could be something in there that would be a kidneyous, and therefore it's just best to rinse it off before you use it.
Wow. Nice. Rabbi Grunberg, how do you like how this Pesach products program has evolved into a Schoenfeld versus Gersten battle an issue?
Well, I agree with Rabbi Gersten, because I've seen it myself.
You know what, Rabbi Schoenfeld? I'm joining your side. I'm going to eat things out and join your side, Rabbi Schoenfeld. We're going to take on these guys. Woo!
Heavy hitters, heavy.
Can't believe it. I never thought it would develop into this. Next question. Larry, does your line that you have, the kosher mouthwash, the kosher toothpaste, etc., is there such a thing as kosher chapstick for Pesach, or nobody makes that and you just open up a new chapstick?
Well, Fisher has a lip product that's good, but I assume that you would open up a new one, because most of the products are just a wax product. You know, right. it's wax.
I get it, but I didn't realize that there's actually a kosher company that makes one. It's good to know for people who want that extra level, so to speak.
Right. Absolutely.
Nature Made probiotics C, D, and B. What do you say?
Well, but with the vitamins and the probiotics, they're non-essential medications, and I'd say a good portion of them have kidneys in it. So, depending on your need, you know, medical need for the product, I think would judge whether you should take it or not. If you're on an antibiotic and you have to take the probiotic so you don't get diarrhea and other stomach issues, then I suggest that you continue taking it. If it's something that you're just taking it because, you know, you feel good about taking your vitamin C, etc., then those products should perhaps be held on the side.
And as we always say in a situation like that, consult with your rabbi. And I, of course,
and
go ahead.
And physician.
And I annually lament, as everyone knows, I annually, much to Larry's entertainment, lament that I have to put away all of the stuff that I take every day, because the majority of it, if not all of it, is kidneyous, right? So I know I could ask a rabbi and probably, you know, but as Rabbi Schoenfeld would say, Larry, after all, it's Pesach.
And absolutely.
Exactly. Listener Frida wants to know if you could use organic raw nuts with only an OU for Pesach.
Well, that is the position of the OU is that as long as it does not have any preservative, BHT, and I think there's another one, BHI or something, as long as it's the raw nut, especially in the shell, it's not a problem. Out of the shell is where you have to check out the preservatives, which basically could be kidneyous based. It's not the worst thing in the world, but shouldn't have it without hashgacha if it's out of the shell.
With that in mind, I'm sorry, Robert Gerson.
No, yes, Schoenfeld is correct. It should be, I mean, we listed over here, it says raw, whole pieces, whole in pieces, no added ingredients or preservatives. So even if it's pieces, as long as it's considered raw, nothing added to it, just the nut itself, then it's okay.
Whereby Gersten, ironically, listener Devorah follows up and asks, can people use closed packages of ground almonds and almond butter that have an OU but are not certified for Pesach?
Well, almond butter is processed. It goes through, you know, there is going to be a heating. It's not going to be a completely raw item.
Right.
It's going to share other equipment with it. I would not recommend an almond butter unless it has a kosher for Pesach. The almond, what was the other case? The nut meal?
The almonds.
The flour. Ground almonds.
Flour.
Ground almonds.
Ground almonds. So, yeah, when it comes to ground almonds, again, they sell like a flour. You should know who's certifying it. There are ones that are acceptable, but contact the OU for which ones are acceptable. Don't just buy any almond flour because, again, it's going to share certain equipment with other packaging equipment, with other things.
Right. Someone just sent me a picture of a notice that's on the refrigerator in their store. We regret to inform you that the following is not being manufactured for Passover 2024. Friendship cottage cheese 5 ounce, Breakstone sour cream and cottage cheese 16 ounce. So there's an issue. I don't know what the issue is, but there's an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. By the way, I bought a lot of yellow capped soda, and I don't know if you know, but when when you see a bottle of soda with a yellow cap on it, that's a Kushel Pesach bottle of soda. Rabbi Schoenfeld, I don't know if they have that yet in Baltimore, but in the New York area, it's been very popular.
We do, and my wife lets it already into the kitchen. So why are you allowing that soda in the kitchen? Look, it's got a yellow cap. So, you know, I have a sister-in-law. My brother-in-law says about her, she says, my wife is so frum and so advanced with Pesach, she's already putting back the Pesach.
I love that. Excellent. I have one that I say about my own situation in my home, which is led by the amazing Stacy Siegel, and that thank God there's a restriction on eating matzah 30 days before Pesach. Otherwise, we'd be Pesach thick for 6 weeks.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Oh, what can I tell you? Rabbi Grunberg, you see why this has become one of the most entertaining shows of the year, according to the average JM and the AM listener. We have the most amazing panel. It was just you and me years ago, Rabbi Grunberg, and look what has developed over the years.
I love it, and no comment what my wife says.
She keeps you in China. That's
By the way, they haven't figured out how to make shmurah matzah in China yet. That's one thing. That's one market they haven't gotten into.
Give them time. It'll come.
It'll happen.
Why for sure.
It actually will happen. You're right. And they'll figure out
the way. Those yellow caps that you're talking about are made there
in China.
Sure.
And is there yellow cap soda available?
Well, the components come from China. They could be formed and molded in USA. But all the materials, 50% of the materials are all from China, no matter what the product is in any industry.
Rabbi
That's
Schoenfeld.
The Metzius. That's a fact of life.
Rabbi Schoenfeld, while I keep him busy, could you please call the CIA and the FBI and report that Rabbi Grunberg is a spy for China? Rabbi Gersten and I will keep him entertained with more Pesach questions. Can you get on your spare phone? I'm begging you.
Malcolm, you could Google all these facts. I'm not telling you anything.
Forget new. About facts. You're speaking like you're the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce of China with all your tidbits there.
I told you, Kafka, which is a state-owned company, one of the largest state-owned companies in China, made me an honorary member. I had no choice. Otherwise, I would have to stop going.
Rabbi Schoenfeld, those are code words for honorary member of the Communist Party. Coming to the line immediately. You're right near Washington, D.C. Could you please do me a favor? Listen.
Rabbi, we have a Senator McCarthy that's working on him.
But no, sir. Rabbi
Schoenfeld knows that this pin gets me places when I have to go across China. He knows.
Understood. Just don't walk into a Rotary Club meeting with it. Rabbi Grunberg, in all seriousness, if they bring the right personnel from Israel, they could set up a hand shmurimatzah factory. If they'll follow all the regulations, and they could do it very inexpensively. Seriously, we might be. And I'm being serious now. It might be a way to break the $40 a pound market that we're at right now.
Yeah, but they would have to bring in the staff of Shomer Shabbos people too. Right. And once you bring in, Jewish laborers, then you're talking, right. 10 times the labor cost of,
right. They need salaries.
Chinese laborers. So
they need real salaries.
It may not work out, right?
They're paying yeshiva tuition. They need real salaries. Rabbi Grunberg, how much is a kilo? A kilo in Jerusalem, a kilo of matzah, hand matzah in Jerusalem would be about how much,
It depends whose. We paid about 120 kilo average.
120 shekel, you mean?
Shekel, yeah. Shekel.
For 1 kilo or for like a two kilo thing?
For a kilo.
Wow.
Kilo is 2.2 pounds.
A lot of money.
So, yeah.
It's 50 bucks.
Yeah. In Shanghai last week, Chabad was selling it like for $10 a kilo. I don't know how they did that. They imported it from Israel.
Maybe it's subsidized. Does Israel have yellow cap soda or not?
It's a good question.
Rabbi Gerson, does Passaic have yellow cap soda or not?
We sure do.
They do. Apparently, there's a Jewish community in Passaic, Rabbi Schoenfeld. There was no need. There was no need to escape all the way to Baltimore. You could have stopped on the Jersey Turnpike and found a really nice community,
including my son. Yeah.
Is he in Passaic?
Passaic Clifton. Yeah.
Should have asked him. What am I bothering Rabbi Gerson? I could have found that from him if there's yellow cap soda in Passaic, New Jersey. All right, let's go to our app. It's the NSN, Nahum Siegel Network app for Android and iPhone. By the way, Rabbi Gersten, after all, you are a company man. You are the only one on this call to defend the people that messed up the Sfiras HaOmer chart. Oh, actually, Rabbi Schoenfeld was also pretty sympathetic, I must say. You are a company man, Rabbi Gersten. How do people virtually get information about Pesach? Because unlike the old days where the Kashrut Pesach guide and a telephone was necessary, now I am told that you could actually email and log on to certain things, et cetera, what the kids do these days. Not quite sure how it works, but what the youngins like to incorporate into their lives. How do people get in touch with the OU when they have questions after the conclusion of the JM and the AM Pesach products program?
Okay, so you could still call, use a telephone, regular telephones, and you can speak to a live person, 212-613-8241. That's the phone number for the OU hotline. Or you could email questions at kosherq@ou.org. And, There is also an app, and there's other ways of communicating. So, if you go onto the OU website, you can find other such methods.
An app, or by Grunberg, we had no app in our day. An app? We had to do this all ourselves. Holy
cow. Those were the days.
And you could download the entire magazine, right? You could download the entire OU guide to Passover.
Yeah. You can't get it in your local shul or a supermarket, you could download it. It's about 120 pages. I don't know if you want to print it all out, but you know, you could certainly search it online, or you could download it.
I would print it, but Rabbi Schoenfeld is concerned about the environment, so I try not to print 120-page documents. Rabbi Gersten, in a kitchen where you're leaving your sink completely empty and unused for 24 hours, right, because one would need to do that in order to kosher that sink, am I right so far?
Well, it shouldn't be used hot for 24 hours.
It's funny you say that. That was seriously my question. If someone did wash, you know, with cold water in that sink, you don't have to restart the clock.
No, that is fine. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's better to keep the comments away from it completely. But yes, as long as everything was done cold, especially you just washed your hands or you just washed, you know, not a problem.
Rabbi Gersten, you want to hear a psak from Rav David Feinstein that I heard this week?
Sure. Absolutely.
For those of us who have children and or grandchildren, I guess it's not an or, because if you have grandchildren, you're likely to have children. But for those of us who have children and grandchildren of a certain age, we are setting up high chairs in the house, Baruch Hashem, B'li Ayin Hara, Kein Yirbu, for Pesach. So now I know that there are balabustas, Rabbi Gersten, that will put aluminum foil on that high chair tray. Am I right that there are people who would do that?
Sure. I mean, people buy new ones.
There are people who buy new ones. So I heard the following from somebody in the name of Rav David Feinstein of blessed memory. He said, because you are never, ever putting something too hot on a high chair table, obviously, because you never want to give your child or grandchild something, or God forbid, it's too hot, because it's never a temperature that's too hot. If you simply wipe down and clean the tray properly, you could use it on Pesach. Your reaction, Rabbi Gersten?
No, he's absolutely right. However, covering it is so simple that I think it's more common that people do. Something I heard from Rabbi Belsky many times. He would say, he would talk about kashering different, you know, counters, you know, tables, or you know, different things like that, which are very, very difficult to do, but people like to do it for the aesthetics. They love the look of the marble, and they don't like the look of covered.
The Pesach.
And he said, when I walk into a kitchen and it's not covered, it doesn't look like Pesach. Zerbowski would complain. So a high chair that isn't covered just doesn't look like Pesach. But of course, Rav Feinstein is correct that it doesn't need it. You could scrub it well, you got to make sure it's all clean, and then, you know, then technically, you know, he is correct.
Some would say if you walk into a house this week and there's no panic, stress, and anxiety, it doesn't feel like Pesach.
Can I ask Rabbi Gersten a Seder question?
Rabbi Schoenfeld, as long as it doesn't start another one of these salmon disputes that Rabbi Grunberg and I are going to have to intervene, go right ahead.
No, so you know, I have a Mishnah Berurah here, in fact, that today as well, 9 o'clock. And but it's become up for discussion. The Mishnah Berurah in Tuf Ayin Zayin says that if you go after Chatzos, you reach Chatzos, I guess these days about 1:10 a.m. But if let's say you don't get to it for whatever reason, your Divrei Torah go on too long, and you come to after Chatzos, the Mishnah Berurah says you should not make an Achilas Matzah, the bracha of Achilas Matzah. And I thought the Aruch HaShulchan would differ, but the Aruch HaShulchan agrees. Would you think, Rabbi Gersten, that would be the case if you actually, for some reason, you drag it on and you don't get to the matzah till after Chatzos, not to make a bracha?
I'm not one to argue on Mishnah Berurah, but I guess it's by brachas in general, we always say suffet brachas lahakel. So anytime there's any doubt whatsoever, we don't make a bracha. The brachas aren't ma'akevs. You know, so of course the person still has to eat the matzah. It's a mitzvah, you know, daraisa. But I guess you know.
Okay, just interesting. I think a lot of people don't watch the clock, and they might find themselves after Chatzos, and they should not be how much they have to make.
Okay. Rabbi Schoenfeld, if you do find somebody who's planning on doing motzi matzah after Chatzos, could you please have them call me immediately? I have to do an intervention. I must do an intervention. I have to gather their friends and relatives and let them know where they've gone wrong. And by the way, if I'm a guest at that Seder, I may not make it to Motzi Matzah. Just a little pre-Pesach humor, Rabbi Schoenfeld.
Yes, I get it. I get it.
By the way, you know, Rabbi Grunberg and I traditionally years ago always made sure to incorporate a ballpark discussion into prepay stocks. Remember this, Rabbi Grunberg? Remember the whole Shiloh we had that year?
Remind me.
I was Holomoid at a game, and a non-Jew obviously asked me to pass the hot dog with the bun from the vendor to them. And you had instructed me that at the minimum, because people don't realize how much of a halachic shiloh it is to actually hold a piece of bread. It is a sign of ownership, even if you don't really own it, but it's a sign of ownership. You said at the minimum, you better have a tremendous thought in mind that you have zero bailus, that you have zero jurisdiction over this piece of bread that you're passing. But it's a bigger problem. And by the way, seriously, it's a bigger problem because you look like an improper person if you don't go, with ballpark etiquette and hand that hot dog and bun to the patron. That's not the way American society works, Rabbi Grunberg. I don't know what they do in China, but here at a game, you have to do it. So rabbis, I don't know if you agree with what Rabbi Grunberg told me or not, but this was an issue that actually did come up, and I bet you, Thursday night Holomoid, when the Yankees play, I bet you it's going to come up. Someone's going to be sitting in their seat and someone's going to ask, can you please pass this down to that person? Any rabbis, any opinion, any thoughts about this whole thing?
I personally don't think it's a problem. You're not having any on the, disagree with my esteemed colleague.
No, Rabbi Grunberg wasn't disagreeing with you. He was simply saying, go.
No, but I don't think there's no thought process involved. You're passing the, you're not getting any, you're not getting any benefit.
I think the question over here, because maybe when you pass it over, you might have the halacha status of a shomer.
Right.
If you were to drop, you might be considered responsible at that point for the hot dog. If you were to drop it, maybe you would have to pay.
You're a shkai mechinam. You're not going to be responsible for anything unless you're a pusher. I mean, what?
So you're right. The shomer chinam, there are, Mishabur discusses what level of shmira a person is required to have to be. And we do say that a shomer chinam we're lenient on, but there is a stricter opinion as well on that. So.
But here's a more serious and a more practical, maybe more practical, Shiloh. I know somebody who was going to law school. His professor, and I think it's irrelevant whether he was Jewish, certainly not observant, but even a non-Jewish professor says, hey, you know what? You're going downstairs, get me a donut. So on Pesach, right? So you're not eating. But on the other hand, you're having actual benefit because you're making your professor happy. It's a bigger problem because you're helping. You're doing your professor at Taiva, so you want to be in his good standing. Is that with a Jew? It's a bigger problem. You're helping him eat comets. But let's say the guy's not Jewish.
It's a problem because you're buying it. There's no shlichus. If we say ain shlichus la'akum, you're not really buying it on his behalf. You're really buying it and then giving it to him. You really are taking ownership of it initially,
even though you're doing it on the behalf of the professor.
Doing it on his behalf, unless he gives you the money.
Okay, so let's say he gives you the money. Here's a buck. Get me a donut.
Right. Okay. Then maybe you could. But if he asks you and I'll pay you back, then you bought the donut.
Listen. There's a donut downstairs in the lobby. They're giving it out free. Bring me up one.
Right. Then you can't take it for him.
Wow.
You're really taking it to yourself and then giving it to him. You can't acquire it on his behalf.
Wow.
By the way, that really is
the ballpark Shiloh, but because of the circumstance, it's not nearly as severe. It's not nearly, likely to be a problem. But here, that's a real, you're talking about real Hana.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I told you what I did then.
Yeah. No, I 100%. By the way, Rabbi Grunberg, another ballpark situation this year, which you'll appreciate. There's a Yankee game Monday afternoon. So there was some talk about some people attending. And I put my foot down and I said, excuse me, it's Erev Pesach, which is somewhat of a yontif. We don't eat chametz. If someone's sitting Shiva, they get up at noon, right? Don't they get up in the early part of the day as opposed to like an Erev Shabbos when it's Erev Pesach? So I said there's a certain, and of course, people have to prepare for the Seder. People need to say things at the Seder. So I put my foot down and said there's absolutely no attendance of the Monday afternoon game at Yankee Stadium. But even with the hot dog danger, you can go to the Thursday night Holomoy game. How do you like that? Rabbi Gerson, you approve of my psak?
The baseball psak.
Rabbi Gerson's going to run it by some of the Gedolei Torah that he has done with, and they'll say, what's someone doing in a ballpark to begin with? Like, why would they even think of going to a ballpark? That's not how you spend Chol HaMoed. Come on. You do what Rabbi Schoenfeld does. You go bungee jumping at Six Flags. That's how you spend.
That's right. That's correct. That's old hat already.
Yeah, well, Rabbi Gersten now has to take on the tradition. Rabbi Gersten, will you be going down to Six Flags on Chol HaMoed with your colleagues at NCSY and do a little bit of bungee jumping, a little bit of adventuring during Chol HaMoed Thursday this year?
Jumping days are over as well, I think. I'm going to have to
hang up. This early in your career, you've given it up this early. Wow.
Yeah, hang up my bungee cords.
Life is funny, huh? Life is funny.
I'm with Rabbi Gersten on that.
Come on, Rabbi Grunberg, you're such a world traveler and adventurer. If I asked you to go bungee jumping with me on Thursday, Chol HaMoed, you do it in a second and you know it.
I just finished traveling 2.5 weeks, 3,000 kilometers over China, 3,000.
Amazing. Rabbi Schoenfeld, you and I are considering a retirement. Rabbi Grunberg's just getting started. It's amazing. Man's incredible.
You know what? I'm going 350 kilometers an hour.
Mamish. You've always been like that. You used to make it from Young Israel Forest Hills to our East Orange studio in like 16 minutes.
Can't even make a matzah.
In traffic.
Should we give a shout out to the Young Israel Forest Hills, Rabbi Grunberg, who have amazing leadership, as
absolutely.
You know? You know, there's some Siegel.
We know who he is.
Schoenfeld. You know that.
Is what?
There's some Siegel influence.
He revitalized the shul and the community.
Well, I think we got to give some credit to the rabbi and to President Gottlieb, but you're right. There is a Siegel family member that has done a lot to really, really pump an injection of vitality.
Energy
to the Young Israel of Forest Hills. And Rabbi Schoenfeld wants to say hi to everybody at Young Israel of Kew Gardens Hills.
I do, especially, like I said, my faithful women shear and my Mishnah Berurah shear every day.
And
thank you.
And your colleagues at the Young Israel of Hillcrest are also enjoying some Siegel participation, Rabbi Schoenfeld. So we've got the whole borough covered, it seems.
What's in Hillcrest?
My son, who lives near the Young Israel of Hillcrest, seems to be diving for the Umbud every single Shabbos there. That's what
Wow. Interesting. What's his first name?
If your name, Yoshua, I tell you, if your name is Siegel and you walk into a shul, you get that Umud and you're like, oh, here we go again. I can't go anywhere. I think Binyamin once told me that he had a streak of like 12 Shabbos in a row where he'd pop in Musaf. Baruch Hashem. Hey, it's Baruch Hashem.
You still doing it for your brother, Yom Narayim?
Yes.
Very good.
40 years, New Springville Jewish Center, Staten Island.
Wow.
Now that you're semi-retired, I invite you to come and join us. Oh, I have to check with the rabbi on that. I better.
Yeah, you better.
Before I invite you. According to Avrami, who is Rabbi Grunberg's neighbor in Beit Shemesh. Come on, Beit Shemesh, Har Nof. We're neighbors. It's like a fiddler on the roof. We're neighbors. New York, Chicago, we'll be neighbors. Anyway, there's no yellow caps, according to Avrami, in Israel. Just Kashal HaPesach on the label. That's it. Just casual. By the way, do you know that at the Kiddush this past Shabbos, coordinated by the brilliant Aaron Goldman at the Bialystoker Synagogue Hashkama Minyan, do you know that he had Israeli Coca-Cola, the Kuf Vav Kuf Hey Kashal HaPesach? He had Kashal HaPesach Israeli Coca-Cola. I don't know what story got it in America. Now they're importing kosher Coca-Cola for Pesach from Israel to the United States? Made no sense to me. I see it's baffled everybody on this panel. Yeah.
What do you mean Kuf Hey?
Kufav, literally Hebrew letters, the real Coca-Cola bottle from Israel.
I see. It's interesting. Maybe people just like to support Israeli product. That's interesting.
Yeah, but to bring it in, it's like, I was shocked. More questions. Let's see here. We haven't even gotten to our app questions, but I guess we'll do that in our stretch run over the next 10, 15 minutes as our panel is getting exhausted from this session. My God, we've had sessions or by Grunberg before, but this one is exhausting, as you know. No coincidence, of course, that you're participating this year, Rabbi Grunberg. You and I both overworking our staff completely. And also, I think, as you know, Rabbi Grunberg, since you're the founder of this segment, I think everyone's on their, you know, they're trying to step up their game because you're part of it this year. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, we're talking about a panel that
makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to be invited back next year. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to play any games here. Listener B wants to know about Solgar and Zaller vitamins. Where is my man, Larry Birnbaum? Larry.
Yes. Maxi Health has a couple items that they have, Kosher Pesach, but the Solgar is all kidneyous. And again, we're dealing with vitamins. Ooh. Depending on what your doctor says, that's what you got to do.
Hey, that kidneyous is something. By the way, you want to hear something? Rabbi Grunberg, you could tell me if this is true. When last Saturday night happened and our brothers and sisters were under attack in Israel, were you in Yerushalayim? Were you in Yerushalayim or in China? Where were you last Shabbos?
China. You're in China.
So when our friends and relatives were under attack in Israel, there was a psak that came out that said that if God forbid, people are stuck in safe rooms on Pesach, they are allowed to cook rice because they wanted to make sure that because of the limited supply of water when someone's in a safe room. So and to cook rice would be, would utilize less water than other things that they would be cooking under situations like that. So if Ashkenazim need to resort to eating rice on Pesach, again, I don't know all the details, but I heard this, then they'd be able to do so because of the emergency situation. Again, I'm not on my kidneyous bandwagon here. That's not the point of me bringing this up. I'm bringing it up because, you know, first of all, halacha bends when, God forbid, there's an emergency situation. That's something that has to be acknowledged. But number two, we also have to keep in mind what our brothers and sisters in Israel are going through, that they even have to consider, you know, things like that about preserving water and how much to use and what they can make and what makes sense to make in that situation. So it should be a very peaceful Seder night and a great Yontif for everybody. But those of us around the world, if God forbid something does happen, think of what our brothers and sisters are going through in situations like that. Anyway, this was not a kidneyous bandwagon thing, even though everyone continues to encourage me to keep that bandwagon moving at 350 kilometers per hour, like Rabbi Grunberg. Magnesium citrate, Larry?
Yes, that would be fine.
Rabbi,
I assume we're talking about the liquid that they use for tests, so that would be okay.
Rabbi Gersten, avocado oil, special OUP, or just anything regular? And what about chosen avocado oil spray?
Yes, so the avocado oil, the chosen brand, is acceptable. I was told even the spray, and even without the OUP, these are items that, and also there's another brand, farm to market avocado oil, is acceptable even without the P.
Boy. What else do we have here? Yeah, I don't know if this is true, and you're not allowed to comment on this, but Larry and I can. Well, no, that's not true, and Rabbi Grunberg probably can also. I don't know. Rabbi Gersten, I don't know who's allowed to comment on what, because I know you don't like to, rightfully so, you don't like to comment on other hashgachas, but someone's pointing out that there's Pepsi that's Kosher LePesach this year and claims it was never Kosher LePesach before. Does anyone know factually if it was ever available for Pesach before? Does anyone know? I just don't know if that's true or not. I'm just curious. Anyone know?
Isn't that run by Chalap originally?
Yeah, then... so was it always Kosher LePesach? It was the first year they've made it available, Kosher LePesach.
I recall him having Kosher LePesach with Pepsi.
That's what I thought. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe someone
those years it had a plain KP.
Right.
KP, but it was his.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the K has.
This listener wants to know, Larry, about Fixadent. Fixadent.
All the Fixadents are fine.
All right, Rabbi Schoenfeld, you heard that?
Yes.
I didn't want to reveal that it was Rabbi Schoenfeld who asked about the Fixadent. I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't realize just how hilarious I am, Rabbi Schoenfeld.
Well, we just had Daf Yomi, the poor cat that lost all its teeth. He probably could have used some Fixadent.
There's a Daf. There's a passage in the Talmud that talks about a cat without teeth.
Yeah, maybe about a week ago. The calf. Yeah, the calf that didn't have teeth, and the guy who was watching it. He didn't tell the guy who was watching it doesn't have teeth, and the cow died because it couldn't eat. And the question is, who's guilty? Should you have known that the calf did not have teeth?
Wow.
And Rabbi Stefanski, who has great graphics on his shir, he showed this poor cow with just his gums and a set of false teeth on the floor. When he gives the shir, he has great graphics. But he could have used Fixadent.
Yeah, could have used Fixadent.
And I thank
one Rabbi of our listeners on the app says a shout out to Young Israel of Forest Hills, which again, we are very proud of. Frida multivitamin and the Vitco multivitamin gummies, Larry?
I would stay away from the gummies for sure.
Wow. This Larry's strict when it comes to Pesach. After all, it's Pesach.
Yep.
This listener says there's Israeli soda all over South Florida. Well, maybe that's where it came from. Maybe someone brought it up from Florida.
I've seen it in all the supermarkets. They got Sprite, Diet Sprite. They got all the different flavors. They got Coke in cans with a hashtag from Eretz Yisrael. It's all over the place. They have it.
Larry's like me. He's subjected to the shopping shopping assignment, it seems.
I follow Ronnie around and I schlep all the goods.
Larry, it's endless. It's endless. I can't wait for Monday night. It's endless. Larry, it's endless.
That is true. That is true.
I'll tell you, Pesach, there's nothing like it. You think we've done it so many times, we'd be used to it already.
Yeah, especially when you're shopping for the grandchildren. So now you're looking at all the chocolate lollipops and all these other things that you want to get for them.
Right. I did, of course. You know, there are some clandestine missions that I put myself on. If I'm already shopping, I do sometimes veer off the shopping list. Rabbi Schoenfeld, you obviously know what I'm referring to. You know, my Mrs. Siegel would never allow the fruit slices into the house. But I, of course, have two boxes hiding in my car as we speak. Because I, as far as I'm concerned, it is not Pesach if I don't have a 2 p.m. first day Pesach afternoon fruit slice snack. And as I told my daughter, now that I'm the daddy, now that I am my father all these years, I get to get first choice, which means I automatically get the red.
Get the red.
Yeah. So if I'm already in a position where I have first choice, you don't think I'm going to have two boxes hiding in my car until Monday?
Right. And green goes last. And the kosher ones are very grainy.
No, green or yellow goes last. I guess green. I guess you're right. Green does go last. Let's ask Rabbi Gersten in Passaic, or Rabbi Gersten, which one goes last in Passaic?
I think in our family, actually, the red probably goes last.
What? So, can we do an exchange? Yeah. Can we do an exchange? I'll give you all the greens and yellows for your red and orange. This will be amazing. I'll save so much money. You know what a fruit slice box costs, by the way, Rabbi Schoenfeld?
$6.99.
I want to tell you something, Rabbi Schoenfeld. Last week, I'm in the supermarket, and my wife says to me that one of our daughters had, you know, done an amazing job like a week or two ago and gotten all the cake mixes and snacks and everything we need. All that type of stuff that we need is in the house. Don't get anything. But I'm standing in front of 400 boxes of chocolate leaves and rainbow cookies and all this stuff, which I would never eat, you know, the day after Pesach. And I say to myself, it's Pesach. I got to get, you know, for old time's sake, I got to get something, right? I got to get something. I buy a box of what I just described. Do you know what it rang up as on the register? Can I share this with you? Even I, who doesn't mind spending money on this stuff, even though it does give certain people in my home a heart attack when I do, even I went a little nuts when I saw this. You know what the price was? You ready for this?
Yeah.
$16.99.
Oh man, come to Baltimore, I'll get it to you for $6.99.
For $6.99
in Safeway. You talking about the fruit slices and candy?
Fruit slices is $7. I'm talking about when you get a box of rainbow cookies, chocolate leaves.
Oh, the cookies. Oh yeah, yeah, I can believe you. Wow. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, my wife enjoys the joy for jellies. What's the story with that?
Does it have an OU?
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought that up, if you don't mind my saying, Nahum. Because it's a very sensitive issue. Joy for Jellies during the year has a Chaf K. On Pesach, you'll note there's a different Hashgacha. Now it's a rabbi. It used to be a Rabbi Sheinkoff. Now it's a rabbi. I never even heard of his name. The Chaf K takes it off for Pesach because it's got corn syrup. This rabbi, and I'm not questioning his validity, but this rabbi takes it over for Pesach because he's okay with corn syrup, which is in controversy, but that's what the story is. It's got corn syrup.
Wow.
That's my wife's favorite, so unfortunately.
My wife hides the stash. She yells at me when I hide candies from kids, but she has her own stash of jellies.
Tell her, Achron Shel Pesach. Achron Shel Pesach, she could have the corn one.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, this whole issue of, you know, of the snacks and the cakes and the fruit slices. And by the way, Rabbi Schoenfeld, you know, in all seriousness, if I was to observe the holiday the way I was brought up, and you know the type of house I was brought up in, if I would observe it properly, I'd have at least two boxes of after Seder mints, at least two. I mean, how do you, again, I already spoke about 2 p.m. on Tuesday. What about 3 p.m. on Wednesday, right? Second day Yontif. That's the time for an after Seder mint. You just want to relax with your family and pass around the box, see it go within a second, you know?
That's correct.
As you see, I mean, everything I'm bringing up, it's obvious that I was brought up in a proper Jewish home. That's, you know, I have to be proud of that.
Yeah, but you didn't have the Kedem raspberry syrup.
I certainly did. Are you kidding me? That was the best ever. That was the best. Are you kidding me? Today, all they have is potato sticks. That's the go-to these days, the little bags of potato sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my grandfather who made the raspberry syrup, herbal food products, which later became Hadar.
Well, your grandfather did a good job on that, let me tell you. That's one of the best things in the world. You have a tall glass of seltzer. And my daughter bought me a 28-ounce mug. You fill that with seltzer and then put that syrup in. Or by Grunberg, you ever hear the expression Tom Gan Eden? All right, we got to start wrapping
up. My father had a German name.
What? Anybody know anything to do for arteria monochromia? Oh, okay. Take it up privately.
Is that a condition? Well, I mean, tell us what.
Yeah, it's a condition, and I'm not sure if the treatment is Pesach stick or Chametz stick, but I'll take it up privately with Larry.
Interesting. Okay. We got to start wrapping up because Rabbi Schoenfeld can't be late for this Mishnah Berurah shiur, which seems to be more important than the Pesach products program. What, it always starts at 9, or it's sometimes
every
early?
Every day, Monday through Friday,
9 a.m.
And I have one of your most loyal listeners, never misses you. He's a traveler. He does a lot of traveling as a salesman, Henry Jacobowitz. He never misses you at all. He tells me how many weeks you've been pumping this program. But he's on that Mishnah Berurah shiur.
I've been pumping it all right because I know what kind of following you have, Rabbi Schoenfeld. I need ratings, and I know that you're among the most popular rabbis in the United States of America.
Well, with little doubt. I mean, I don't mean to brag, but that's true.
I have Rabbi Gersten covering Passaic County. I have Rabbi Grunberg covering the southern region of China, which, you know, has been a very big listening hub for JM and the AM. And I have Larry and Ronnie covering both Flatbush, Brooklyn, and southern Florida. So I have certain regions covered, but Rabbi Schoenfeld, when we start talking about you and your upcoming appearance on the show, the ratings go off the chart. What can I tell you?
Okay.
Final questions. Rabbi Gersten, does table salt have to be non-iodized for Passover?
If it has an OUP, then it can be iodized too. The issue with the iodized is that they disperse it with a starch. They can't just put the iodine straight into the salt. They have to mix it first with a starch. And that starch is usually a cornstarch, kidneys. Therefore, if it doesn't have an OUP on it, you shouldn't use it. But if you buy the non-iodized salt, then that's fine. It's just pure salt.
Yeah, in other words, you could use regular non-iodized salt and not worry about it having a hashgacha.
Exactly.
Right. Apparently, there's been Pepsi available for years, which is what we thought. That's, people are mentioning that on the app. And there was one other thing I wanted to mention here. Give me a second. Where is it? This listener says fruit slices are the best. Yeah, you're 100% right about that. We do cover the. Oh yeah, here someone asks about Meal Mart pickled corned beef in original packaging. Can you use it for Pesach if it has hashgacha, but not a special Pesach designation?
I mean, if it's pickled, then I would think it would need a special Pesach certification because the spices that are added to it. If it's just plain meat, you know, then it's fine. But if it's, once they start adding different ingredients to it, then it would have to have kosher Pesach.
What about bagged chestnuts that are that do not have an OUP but are kosher? Can you use it for Pesach?
You're talking about raw chestnuts?
Oh, the raw. A bag of raw shell. Yeah. You're asking about shelled, Rabbi Gersten?
I mean, if it's just raw chestnut, I guess in the shell or out of the shell, I don't think it would make a difference. I think it would, as long as there's no other ingredients, just raw nuts,
what
it should be fine.
All right, there you have it. If people need information today, they can go to the OU Kosher website. Would that be the best place for people to go, Rabbi Gersten?
Sure. They can go oukosher.org. And you just click on the products search. And they, you can see it'll say kosher, regular kosher, and then they have a special Passover section. And all the products that you do in that search will only come up with those that are certified to Pesach.
Rabbi Gersten, Rabbi Grunberg, and I are chuckling because in the old days, you know what would happen, Rabbi Grunberg, the OU would be inundated with phone calls after this show. There was no app. There was no downloading directories. There was no emailing. There was no go look it up on the website. All the only option they had was to call a representative at OU Kosher, and they would be inundated. And then Rabbi Grunberg and I would be taking the heat the entire Wednesday and Thursday as that would be going on. And now, look, Rabbi Grunberg, it's a whole new world. No need to overwork the OU staff. Give them their proper lunch break this afternoon. They don't have to stay at that phone and answer every question and await the next phone call, which will be coming through immediately after. They could just sort of relax and go through their average day because they're allowing technology to take away the bulk of their work. Rabbi Grunberg, did I summarize that properly based on your recollection of how things went years ago?
In a nutshell, improved 1,000 times.
Okay. Hey, can I ask Rabbi Gersten, if you don't mind, I don't mean to take
over. I would say yes, Rabbi Schoenfeld, but I have a Mishnah Berurah here to go to, so let's make it snap. Yeah.
Okay, no, but this is also very important, Seder Shiloh.
Yeah.
So important, my daughter asked it of me. She wants to make a corned beef. She's going to cook it, you know, as you cook corned beef, and then she's going to leave it in the oven, in a pot, to put a little sauce on it, to top off, to, I guess, add a little crispiness on top. Would you say, if you're makbid on tzli, Rabbi Gersten, would you say that that's a problem? Now, boil it all the way, and then she puts it in the oven just for a little bit.
Yes, I would think it should be in a sauce that it stays
moist.
That should be considered for cooking.
Not really.
Just like we say, tzli achar bishul. You know, we're makbid that there's yesh tzli achar bishul.
Yeah.
So similarly for this, it's this minig of not eating roasted food. It'd be the same guidelines. But if you keep it with a juice, a sauce on the bottom, then
the sauce is on the top. That she's putting it at the end just to top off. You know, otherwise it's cooked.
And it's fully cooked. But if you just put it in dry in the oven at 200, I don't know. If it doesn't change anything, it just stays hot.
Yeah.
I don't know that's complete. But if it would dry out, give it a...
Yeah.
It's similar for Shabbos. We say, unless you have a boiled potato and you put it on top of your chum pot, the many say that's not called tzli achar bishul, even though now it's not in water anymore, because it doesn't change the taste. Tzli would have to be that it gives it now a roasted taste, something, it dries it out, it does it something different to it, it changes the taste. Mm-hmm. So here, if you keep it moist, then I would think it would be okay.
Okay, very good.
On Monday, eat your chametz in the New York area before 10:14. Burn your chametz in the New York area before 11:34. Page 4 of the aforementioned Passover guide will give you times for Jerusalem, Miami, Baltimore, Passaic, and many other cities around the world. I don't think there is Passaic. That was just a joke. But it's all there on page 4. Passaic could follow the New York area. I'm sure that would be acceptable. Also, we want to remind everybody, please don't be confused by what we mentioned early in the show. It is I'm handling this with Rabbi Ganak. He did assure me that he is going to seriously consider dismissing those staff members responsible for not putting the Spiros Omer chart on one sheet. I mean, he did already tell me that there'll be appropriate reprimand, Rabbi Schoenfeld, but again, I'm demanding that there be a dismissal in a case like this. I mean, how one can go ahead and produce a magazine as slick and as fancy like this. And by the way, I think I've won over Rabbi Gersten on this issue. It seems that he's now on my side, and he'll be saying goodbye to one of his colleagues later today. How one can go ahead and put a Spheres Homer chart on two separate pages, to me, is absolutely abominable. It makes no sense, and I will continue on this crusade for another year until Rabbi Ganak assures me that for the 5785 Passover magazine, it will be as originally suggested. Rabbi Grunberg.
Rabbi Nochem, Rabbi Schoenfeld had a solution for you.
I know, but I don't. That come on, come on. After 35 years of being on this bandwagon, I'm going to go for that. I'm going to go for that.
You mean it's too late? It's too late, you say.
Yeah, let me see if I can first get a Rabbi Schoenfeld invitation to Staten Island. Then we'll worry about implementing his ideas for the Passover booklet. Rabbi Grunberg, please, at some point today, fill out the form about how Rabbi Gerson or Rabbi Schoenfeld did based on your feedback. We'll see if we're tossing them out of here, if we're going to have them back next year. Please grade very, very tough. Larry Birnbaum's in. Larry, I think you agree, Rabbi Schoenfeld. Larry was superb and superlative this year. Did very, very well. Probably a 10 out of 10. Anxious to see your scores for your two rabbinic colleagues and then determine whether Rabbi Gerston and Rabbi Schoenfeld will be invited back to this forum 1 year from now. Rabbi Grunberg, any initial thoughts about how your survey might go? Any idea if either rabbi is in danger of being tossed a virtual pre-Pesach call?
One of the rabbis is definitely not in danger.
Rabbi Schoenfeld, you better start lobbying. You better start lobbying your old pal. Because it sounds like you've got one foot out the door. It sounds like that Mr. Brewer share is going to start at 8 o'clock next year.
Monty, just remember everything I did for you over the years.
Rabbi Grunberg, Rabbi Schoenfeld's pulling the remember everything I've done for you card. It sounds desperate to me, if you ask me.
I brought him to your show. I have to take some responsibility.
Kidding me? We may keep him just for that because he was your original recommendation. Are you kidding me? Rabbi Gerston, a chag kosher v'sameach. In all seriousness, I know that someone of your rabbinic acumen would probably prefer to spend this 90 minutes in a more serious environment. So I thank you for helping me and our listeners learn more about the upcoming holiday and helping us to do things properly, starting now and, of course, starting even more so on Monday night. So a big yashar koach, Rabbi Gerston, the Chag Kosher V'Sameach to you.
Thank you. I always enjoy the show. It's always a pleasure for me to join you.
Thank you very, very much.
What
can I say? You and Ronnie are amazing. And the J Drugs, of course, is at the forefront, on the front lines of helping people prepare for Pesach medication-wise. Any questions at all, you could just contact J Drugs. And certainly all the products that you would need are all available at all of Larry and Ronnie's locations. Larry, final word from the medicinal portion of the pre-Pesach program.
Well, we'd like to wish everyone a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. I hope people will not discontinue taking their needed medications for any special reasons. We are very happy to take care of all the customers and the people in Flatbush or in other areas that, use us. And I'd like to give a shout out to my staff who's working very, very hard. My son, Andrew, and Jonathan, who are managing the store in my absence. And I'd like to thank Zeb and Alex and all the other people working there. And a shout out to my grandchildren who are probably listening right now.
Nice.
So, wish everyone a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Ronnie would like to say two words.
Ronnie, go right ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for doing this program yearly. It's a very, very, very important part of the Pesach preparations. And as Larry said, J Drugs and Kings Bay Chemist, Kings Highway Chemist, we're all in Pesach mode. Please, everybody has the ability, can call us, can email us with their Pesach Shiloh. We'll do our best to respond in a timely fashion. And of course, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who else, what other group prepares the way we do for our Chagim? And we're very proud. And of course, we wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and certainly our, as you say all the time, Nachama, brothers and sisters in Israel, there should be peace and shalom, and everything should be well, and they should also have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Amen. Rabbi Grunberg, what can I say?
Time for the Pesach Blues song.
How did you know that I have it queued up? How did you know that I have it queued up? That's so funny. I was going to ask you what song I should play, and of course, I have it ready already. And by the way, Rabbi Grunberg, for the people that panic when they hear that song, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's a lot of fun. Like, I think we've done this disclaimer for 30 years about that song.
It's Pesach.
Come on. We know how rough it is. Look at the stress and anxiety in Rabbi Schoenfeld's face here on the virtual call. The man looks like it's the ninth day of Nisan.
By the way, somebody told me that Rabbi In Teaneck and Rabbi Adler Shul, this past Sunday, they said hallel for what took place, the nest that took place in Mitzrayim. And I think they were 100% correct.
Wow. And
we should have all thought of that.
And you know what some rabbis would say, by the way? They would say, say hallel and continue to say Avinu Malkeinu. Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah, there
are those. Hallel with the bracha, without a bracha.
No, we know that. We know that on Rosh Chodesh, there are rabbis who still insist on saying Avinu Malkeinu. I mean, that's not uncommon at all in our community. Wow.
But specifically for what happened with the Matzei Shabbos,
100%.
It was a hallel.
100%. What an unbelievable miracle. What an unbelievable miracle. Rabbi Schoenfeld, I thank you. All kidding aside, of course, Rabbi Schoenfeld, I think people know at this point that you and I are an amazing comedy duo. But comedy, of course, that only enhances, hopefully, everyone's preparation and execution of the big holiday starting on Monday night.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And be careful if you try to sell your bird or your fish, speak to Rabbi Schoenfeld first.
Yeah.
It's tough to make it work. Not easy to make it work.
That's correct.
Make sure it's out of the house and that the person taking care of it, who has to be non-Jewish, is actually purchasing the food for themselves. Right?
That's right. Yeah. And I'm certified that he's non-Jewish. There was this whole scandal going around. There was a guy, B'nai Brak, passed himself off as a Jew, as a guy, but he was really Jewish.
The old story, they found out that the 1 year that the Arab that bought the chametz for the state of Israel was actually Jewish, had a Jewish mom. We call those urban legends, Rabbi Schoenfeld.
I don't know. I'm not the Grimblack would. They had a tape of him yesterday circulating. Yeah. Verifying that story. But okay.
Really?
Yeah, he swears that it's true. Avada, Avada. Yeah, it's an Alta Maisa. They have a tape of him.
See, Alta Maisa to me means urban legend.
You're probably right.
If that was the scuttlebutt, you know, Shalosh Shudas time at the Young Israel of Kew Gardens Hills, that to me, that, you know, could be a rumor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happened between Mincha Maariv Shabbos Day at the Young Israel Kew Garden Hills? A lecture, a shiur, or Shalosh Shudas?
On an average Shabbos, regular Shabbos. Winter or summer?
I don't know. What's the difference?
Winter, we have Shalosh Shudas. Summer, we had sometimes full Perek. The whole time is taken up with Perek, and sometimes it was split. Perek, the last few years, split Perek and Shalosh Shudas.
There's nothing like a good Shalosh Shudas at a Young Israel, right? Nothing like it.
Right, you get the best tomatoes, the best gefilte fish from the morning.
There's nothing better. Rabbi Grunberg, Young Israel Forest Hills had a Shalosh Shudas in the old days or not?
Shvach.
A shot of Young Israel Forest Hills.
And I hope you don't mind. I do have that mission.
That's what I was. Maybe it got better.
No, I'm kidding around, Rabbi Grunberg. I'm kidding around. Rabbi Schoenfeld, before you leave us, what is the first topic? The 9 a.m. topic will be, go ahead.
Eating or drinking after the Afikoman.
Wow.
That's what we're up to already.
Someone said to me yesterday, they're so full from the Seder, they never eat Afikoman.
That's a problem.
I said, if you asked a rabbi, is it better to eat Korech or Afikoman? They tell you to eat Afikoman.
Okay, that I don't know. I really don't.
Am I wrong about that?
I've never heard that, but probably because the Afikoman is really halacha korach or something we do.
Last question, has Rabbanit Schoenfeld taken care of the curtains? Has she taken down the curtains, washed them for the holiday, and reinserted them where they belong on the curtain rods?
Robinson, did you take care of the curtains? No more curtains in Baltimore.
She doesn't do the curtains anymore?
No, it's curtains for me. It's curtains for me.
We've downgraded our Pesach preparations. Amazing. Rabbi Schoenfeld, to you and the family, Sanka Service, Sameach. Rabbi Grunberg,
thank you.
To you and your family, both in Jerusalem and China, Sanka Service, Sameach.
Not necessarily in that order.
And of course, it is a Wednesday morning broadcast in our Pesach Products program at JM in the AM.